This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him on his weekend off, Robbie Earl, reacting to match week 8 in England's Premier League. Now, topics up for discussion, Mr. Earl. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer continues to struggle badly with Manchester United. Tottenham in crisis. Jurgen Klopp's men scrape another win, this time against Leicester City, and the champions lose at home. We'll touch other games as well and other storylines throughout the weekend. But we've got to start, my friend, with the champions. Manchester City losing at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers, who travel back on Thursday from Istanbul in Turkey. A tough game. Man City had a comfortable European night at home on Tuesday. Nobody saw this coming.
No, but last season, outside of the established top six, Wolves had the best record against top six teams. So they're not a team, Rob, who will melt, will go there and be in awe, won't contest possession. But what they did do very well, I thought, is play reasonably deep. We know Nuno's going to go the three at the back. He sits his midfield in front. And how the game panned out, and it's something we've talked about with Manchester City, and it's not been wise after the event, is that there will be opportunities through transition to get your chance to go to goal. Now, if you take those chances, you get days like today. Most teams either don't or aren't good enough to create those chances or don't get in there, and Man City get away with it. Today was just a day when all the football was good, they created enough chances, didn't probably finish them as sharp as they'd like, and they got caught out by a team who had a little bit of quality, and the other thing I'll say, a little bit of speed in the attacking third, and they suffered for not putting chances away.
You say their football was good, generally.
Yeah.
I don't think it was good. And the goals for Wolves came about by sloppy giveaways in and around the box. The two goals at Wolves scored were very, very similar. If City don't pass a ball well, securely, accurately, and keep possession, they are so vulnerable. Now,
but you're talking about in isolated instances, Rob. Every team give the ball away. Every team lose a bit of possession. Every team
But they're still not as committed. They're not as committed to attack as Man City. Everybody is forward. They leave two players at the back.
But that gets you 8 goals against Watford. The same thing. You can't always just say, just because they an odd loss, it's like, oh, they didn't play too well. Teams, we saw the Norwich game where Norwich had chances, yet they won the game. We've seen other games, but people haven't taken those chances. So it's not like we should be overcritical about the possession. I hear what you're saying. Wolves set up, won the ball in similar areas, got it forward. Once Traore's away, you're not catching him anyway. And he finishes, which is like news to everybody. We're expecting that to go down the side of the pitch or over the top of the goal, as Traore normally does. He gets 2 goals today.
You think I'm being critical with Man City, that they don't play well, they get caught out and they leave themselves 2 at the back against 2 forwards?
I think that happens in other games, and because
with
City, I think we've identified that there's times with City that you will get 3 or 4 chances in a game.
That's not okay though, Rob, is it?
No,
it's not okay.
It's not okay, but it's what happens. It's who City are, Rob. It's that DNA of what City are. We saw games recently where we picked out Fernandinho, didn't we, and said they got a bit lucky there with the defensive shape and the opposition weren't good enough to take those chances. Today that team was. But that's who City are. That City who are going to beat teams 8-0. Yeah. And on odd days like today, like 4 times it happened last season, like twice it's happened this season, they're going to get caught out. Okay. Now, is that going to be too many times to stop them winning the league? I'm not sure. I don't think Pep's going to change. I don't think Man City are going to change.
I don't think they are. But the point is, when they do look vulnerable, instead of having a Vincent Kompany and Emerick Laporte...
That's a whole different point.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what we'll go on to now. My point was, the football wasn't good today, and a few times they turned over possession. Yes, that happens.
Yeah.
But when you've got Fernandinho back there, and Otamendi, Otamendi makes poor decisions when to drop off, when to try and nick the ball. It happened again today. He dived in on the first goal, I think it was, where he gets knocked around by
Jimenez. Jimenez went past him,
It's a bad decision. And Fernandinho for the second goal. And listen, there's no bigger fans than us, I'm sure, of Fernandinho.
He
doesn't know how to be the last man. He knows how to be the defensive midfield player that can look behind him and see guys behind him that he can pass on to, or you can deal with that. This time, he's the back man, and he doesn't make good decisions of when to try and play offside by stepping up, catch him offside, or when to think, well, hang on a minute, this looks a little bit, I've got him who's really quick, I'm going to drop off. And I think that is a continued problem for them that they've got. Again, Fernandinho was expected to drop in there, he's dropped back in there, but he's not a natural centre back, and this has happened many times before. I continue to worry about defensively for City for this season, without certain players being fit and available, and they got caught out. I mean, fair play to Wolves, Rob. We shouldn't...
Absolutely. We've got to give Wolves...
You give him first, then, Nuno, of his game
plan.
Brilliant.
Well set up with his game plan. Put Adama Traore on the right-hand side as a right wing-back to often actually counter and deal with the threat of Raheem Sterling from that left-hand side, which we know is a big threat. Made a change, through the game. Big change. So put... Doherty who came
Doherty
on?
Came in for where Traore was playing at right wing back.
Right,
and Traore goes up as
Traore
a striker.
Traore went up as a striker, second striker. Now, the interesting thing you said with the Vinny Kompany, which is an interesting debate, certainly maybe with the second goal, because the one thing that beats any defence is outright pace. I don't care who you are, how you set up. If somebody can run quicker than you, knock it past you and run quicker. Now, would that situation, say Vincent Kompany is back there, and we know what Kompany does, would he have, A, either organised that thing better, or B, dropped off further, saying, this is a race and I'm going to win it with Traore?
Yeah.
Because the pace, if Vinny got in the same position as Fernandinho, he's losing that race as well, by the way.
But he drops off, Rob, and I think just a bigger possibility that he can show him
key.
To one side. We've just, me and Carl have just done a tactic session. We always try and break down something straight after the weekend's done. So, listeners, viewers, YouTube channel, you'll see at the tactics session, we talk about what could have been done differently. We talk about everything that
we've
talked about.
The defensive situation.
Yeah, the tactics session, just about how those two goals occurred and how Fernandinho was a little bit caught out. But again... The switch, the game plan, playing two strikers, playing Traore in a wing-back position up against Raheem Sterling was a gamble that he wasn't going to be a liability defensively against Manchester
City. Yeah,
away
come
from
good.
Him. I mean, it's come good. It's just, you know, fantastic. There's an eight-point gap, Robbie, or bigger picture of Manchester City.
Yeah.
Have they got the stomach to dig in and go on a long, long run, which they did last season? They won 14 games to win the Premier League by 1 point. Mm-hmm. Have they got a stomach as early as this
to find a way back,
Robbie?
I can see which road you're trying to go down, and I'm not steering down there. You're spending too much time with Lady Lowe trying to steer me down there. Actually, no.
Tell me what you
think. Yes, they are back-to-back champions. They've got a champion manager. They've got a dressing room full of quality players. They'll be hurt. They'll be stung by this. I listened to a couple of Pep's interviews after. The word nervous came out, which was a little bit... He thought his team played a little bit nervous today when Wolves sat deep and they weren't able to break them down, which was, I thought, quite an interesting and insightful word from him. Hmm. But yes, evidence of what we've got, evidence of what I've seen over the last few years, I'm not going to go down there, it's a Champions League, they'll toss it in. We've seen this team before fight and scrap and put a run of form together, Rob, that's taken them towards the titles. I think they will still believe that it's not done. And I hope that Liverpool fans, Liverpool players, Liverpool managers don't think it's an eight gap is done. Because this team, if any team, can hunt you down.
That links nicely to the next game, the next team that we want to talk about, Rob, and it is Liverpool. And my goodness, you know, seeing that game today, I'm sure, and the boost that will give them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether it changed their mindset. It's still early in the season. We know they had a big lead of last year. But their game, Rob. Wow, difficult game. I think, to be fair, we predicted it would be a difficult game, football, against Leicester City. James Milner, penalty, right at the end to win it. Are we still... like, impressed that Liverpool can play not great and find ways to win? Or is there a concern that, listen, they keep playing like this, they're going to drop some points soon?
While they keep winning, we keep being impressed, Robbie Musto, because that's what other teams have done in the past who've won titles. Liverpool haven't won a title yet and have often been, you know, talked about as being a great football team, but don't do enough on bad days. Now, it was my same, you know, I've written the same thing, but you know, talking about the game first, right now, in terms of Premier League form, there isn't much tougher days than Leicester City, by the way. And home or away, Leicester City are going to take points off plenty of teams this season. Mm. So it's one done for it's almost like a top six team, another top six team out of the way for Liverpool. So it was a huge win. The scenes at the end, Rob, were, as I was watching it, I thought, last season, Liverpool would have been okay with the draw. They'd have wanted to win, but they'd have been okay with the draw to stay unbeaten, to draw against this team. Remember, it was seven draws last season that cost them the title.
Around the winter time, went into the winter.
Yeah, it was. But it was a draw against some of those teams, like a Leicester. We were a good team, and we've got plenty of things. It was like yesterday, they wanted a little bit more. They wanted. There's something there, Rob, that's taken it on. There's something there that's making this team, I think, believe it.
But they didn't play well.
Champions.
They didn't.
No, they didn't play well. But at 1-1, they found a way to get the penalty. We can talk about the penalty. They find a way for Milner to be the coolest man in Anfield when everybody else is biting the nails. Yeah. And they find the way to 3 points. And I think last season not playing well is a drawn game. This season not playing well is 3 points. If that's the mindset of difference that Liverpool need, well, so be it. If that's what's going to win them a title, winning more games, wanting to win more games when they maybe would have accepted a draw, then that's the X factor. That's why Liverpool, in all this time, 28 years is it now, we're saying, haven't won a Premier League title.
Do you know what's interesting to me? And this is kind of off of the bigger picture a little bit.
Yeah.
It was fascinating because both managers are really reliant on their fullbacks.
Yeah.
To get forward and to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
We saw changes in the starting lineup of Liverpool, I think, to try and thwart that. We saw Mo Salah playing as a striker. So I think Klopp trusts Mane and Firmino
Firmino
to track
outside,
the fullbacks.
Yeah.
Leicester City, Ricardo Pereira, Ben Chilwell for Liverpool, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andy Robertson. The game was about fullbacks. Because the midfield players kind of cancel each other out. You've got the forward players, the defending players. Mm-hmm. The fullbacks were the ones out. I just thought it was fascinating that the positions that not many people glamorise or talk about fullbacks is so important because the ball funnels out there so often because that's where the space is. And this particular game, you had four of the best fullbacks in English football.
In the country,
and I just thought it was really interesting just about how the game developed that way. A couple of big talking points, Rob, that we should get to.
Okay.
The penalty.
Yes.
The penalty awarded at the end there.
Yes.
Sadio Mane. Soft for you, no penalty for you, or penalty for you?
Well, regardless of for me, the moment the referee points to the penalty spot, penalty. Penalty. Because if the referee waved the penalty away, no penalty. Not clear and obvious error. The moment he deems it a penalty,
VAR's going to not get it.
And why I'm... the spectrum is from no penalty to stonewall, I'm going towards stonewall because there's contact, Rob. There's contact. Mm. If O'Brien doesn't make the contact, Mane's not able to go down. It was a dramatic fall. It was nowhere near the amount of contact. But there was a contact between O'Brien's foot and Mane's foot in the box. Referee points to the spot. Absolutely got to give it. And then it's like, who do you want standing there? I was thinking about, Rob, Manchester United with their penalty things going on and who's taking in this one. And Chelsea, who's this guy and this guy and somebody standing. And then you get James Milner, who stands there, Rob.
It's so funny, because I looked at him and I thought, he's got to liven up a little bit here, James, as if, like, he was so cool.
He was so cool.
It was remarkable. He got in this mindset.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The other person I just want to give a mention, I know we're going to move on, not always been my favourite. Dejan Lovren. Rob.
No. Start giving praise to him. He had a basic game.
When Joe Gomez didn't play, Matip's injured. When Liverpool needed somebody to come in Dejan Lovren
did all right.
Did okay, Robbie Musto.
Well, he should.
He's not my favourite.
He's paid a fortune in that club.
He's not my favourite. He's been a bit shaky in the past. He did okay, by the way.
Last one before we move on, Rob. Jurgen Klopp, animated, angry at the end, stormed off with our buddy Steve Bauer doing the interview.
Yeah.
The foul on Hamza Chowdhury.
Oh, the foul on Mo Salah. Yeah.
Was it a naughty foul? We thought it was a kind of a yellow card, professional. It wasn't any more than that.
Yeah. We've seen he does this every now and then, doesn't he? He throws one in a little bit, and listen, it's a bad foul. It's a professional foul. It happens in the game. It wasn't like didn't look like a leg breaking one of those or ankle ligaments. He's caught him. He's maybe caught him harder than he should. It's a yellow card. Listen, Mo Salah's, we believe, is a quick healer. I'd be surprised if we don't see him. We've got international break now. Yeah. I think that's Klopp being Klopp. Every now and then he throws one of those in.
And also the referees, Rob, innit?
Protect my top three,
I've got these in terms of future challenges.
Mate, it's a manager doing his job and affecting the game as he can from the side of the pitch. But listen, we've seen Jurgen. He's worried about the rain. He's worried about the wind. He's worried about fixtures. He's worried about everything. But, you know, at the moment, what he's got... And you look at the table, Rob. The other thing I just said, 24 points Liverpool, 16 Man United. Just feels big.
Liverpool are going to win the league, Rob, aren't they?
It feels big. This game, Rob, is one of those where when we do our Champions review at the end of the season, we'll be talking about this game. We'll be able to talk about this game as when it was the time Liverpool kicked on, or we're going to talk about the time that Liverpool had the 8-point gap and let it slip.
Let's move it on, my friend, to a team that, my goodness, our podcast seemed to be dominated by this club. Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, wow. Let me ask you straight away. We talked about it in the studio today.
Yeah.
More embarrassing, losing at home 7-2 to Bayern Munich, or to a team that struggles to score goals, that a lot of people's tips for relegation, to lose 3-0 at the Amex Stadium in Brighton? What's more embarrassing?
Losing 3-0 to Brighton, based on you've just got slapped 7 by Bayern Munich, who can have a quality team and quality forwards, and Lewandowski and Gnabry players. You've got beat 7 at home. So what's your reaction to getting beat 7 at home?
Yeah,
the surprise is that you go to Brighton and get beat 3. Don't score. Don't look like you've got the drive and the passion. Yes, the early injury to Lloris looks quite bad. We're saying emotionally how much sure the players were, and obviously we wish him well and hope we see him back playing first team football again. But this was a club under the microscope, Rob. This was a manager under the microscope. This was like, okay, let's have a look where we are with Spurs. What's next? Where next? What do we go? This is a club that's losing a little bit of its identity, personality. It's slipping towards, and it's a harsh word, crisis. It's slipping towards a crisis. And at what point do we go, whoa, hold on, this is the low point now. It doesn't get any lower than this. Because I kind of feel that's where we're getting to with Tottenham.
I mean, I was shocked, Rob. I was shocked at the lack of effort. I was shocked at the lack of work ethic from the players when you expect a reaction from the last game. I think it's time, we'll talk about Poch, but I think it's time for him to pick a team that wants to play for Spurs, that's going to guarantee you work rate. I'll start at the front. Heung-min Son's got to play. Harry Kane's got to play. Yeah. Lucas Moura came on and looked like, he looked different to everybody else from Spurs. He actually wanted to play, wanted to run around and wanted to do good things. Yeah. In midfield, I think Winks will run around. Moussa Sissoko, a player that we've talked about and how he's improved, he'll run around. He'll give his manager a shift. The other spot in midfield, I don't know. Maybe you do play Dele Alli and say, go on. Go and get this team, because it's going to be a hard-working team. He's got to get back to basics for me, Pochettino, to kind of re-grip this team.
Which is what they had at the start. Which is what they had at the start. That drive and that thing, as well as
pressing and the energy and the youthfulness and everything else of this team.
It's interesting because you said, run around. It's like, Spurs players do now feel that they're good enough players that they don't have to do that running around, because that's a worry. Once you get to that stage, Rob, you've gone soft. You don't get that back collectively. And that might mean a breakup. And it was interesting because I read a couple of reports and were saying that really the criticism for Poch now is kind of reflective on the credit he should get to where he's taking this team and where the standards were. But Listen, it wasn't that long ago, Rob, and yes, we're going back to our days a little bit, but it wasn't that long ago. Spurs were not always been a top six team. Spurs haven't always been challenging for Champions League. Spurs have been a mid-table Premier League team in the past. Mm. And they... Listen, I'm not saying they're heading back there straight away, but if things start to change in your football club, those key elements of hunger, of working hard, if things that you have to expect... Look at Liverpool Football Club. Jeez, they're good players. They still work hard. Mm. Manchester City have got some great players. When they lose possession, they work hard. Mm. Tottenham Hotspur have got some really good players. They've got a good mix of things. But if they stop working hard, Rob, I'm telling you now, they become a fifth, sixth team in the Premier League.
Let's think about how we fix it and how Pochettino's fix it. Is it, first of all, is there a scenario in the next few weeks where Daniel Levy fires the manager?
Mm.
I mean, I'm saying no. There's not,
no,
not a scenario.
I think Daniel Levy's too smart a guy to fire Pochettino. Listen, all the stuff's out there about, you know, Real Madrid and if he'd go and Eriksen would be free and Kane would go and all that's out there. And listen, we know that he's talked before about how he'd love to manage that club, but you don't let... Pochettino's is the top three managers in England. Some was, you know, up there with the
so
best.
So what's got to change, then, Rob? What's got to change? So the
dynamic in the team's got to change, Rob. Yeah.
Has he got the stomach? Which I doubt to say. You know what? Okay, let's make some big changes here. You know.
Yeah, I think he has.
Let's get rid of these three players. Don't want to play for us. We've got to spend some money. We've got to change it. Does he want to stay on for that, or does he want a new challenge? Finally, we'll move on next.
Yeah, I think he can stay.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to go somewhere else.
Mm.
No, not as much as people think. I still think he's got work to do, and it's a blooming good football club he's got.
Yeah,
with great potential.
All right, let's move
on. Quick one on Graham Potter, by the way. Let's say first home win for him. Neil Mopay got his goal, and Connolly, come on, obviously.
Connolly,
a couple of goals, and you know, good to see Brighton playing football, playing well. It wasn't all about Spurs. Yes, the spotlight was on Spurs, but a little bit of credit to Graham Potter, his first home Premier League win,
and the goals are starting to come.
Yeah, goals are coming. Yeah.
Manchester United.
Do we have to?
Well, I think we both... He said it himself. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, we need a win to lift mentality around this football club, to put smiles on faces. And to go to Newcastle, a team that's massively struggled, and to lose 1-0.
Yeah.
And I know there's some injuries to key players, but let's go through. Martial, we'll make them better. We'll be in the team. Yeah. Pogba, yes, same as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Wan-Bissaka and Shaw, they're first-choice fullbacks. But they're not going to move the needle that much.
No, we haven't seen that much of those people.
Just where... I'll tell you where we stand right now in Man United. They're 2 points off the relegation zone. I think the betting now is far heavier to win the title.
200-1 to get relegated. 325-1 to win the title. There's more likelihood of them getting relegated than them as winning the title, which neither are going to happen. But it's all an indication of what people are, how people are viewing Manchester United.
We've talked a lot about them, Rob, about deficiencies and creativity and Rashford and everything else.
Yeah.
Moving through to this game, was there anything different? Did you learn anything different apart from our last pub where we both said it's boring? It's boring to watch United with the midfield players and the football from side to side to boring football. Was there anything different?
I saw a couple of times, Rob, where I thought, and it picks up a little bit from what I saw the other day, so it maybe not usual. I saw people like they've lost a little bit of confidence, don't want to give the ball, don't want to take that pass forward and maybe give the ball away. I saw a safety in the team. I saw a team, Rob, when I looked through the team and I watched the team, in my head I thought, that's a testimonial side. Manchester United have had bigger teams in testimonials. You know, old players who come back and make up a team so the fans can come and cheer or it's in aid of some good cause or somebody finishing the career. I mean, Manchester United were woeful today, Robbie Musto, against a Newcastle team who haven't really had much luck against anybody, struggled against, got beat by Leicester 5-0 last week. Manchester United were awful.
With this squad... with a few injuries to key players, which we've got.
Yeah.
I think this is where we are with Man United. This is where we are.
Mid-table. Yeah. The mid-table.
And it's not the players out there are massively underperforming. Pereira is okay. Juan Mata with his age now is okay. Daniel James has gone off a little bit from his from his good form earlier on. Twanzebe, McTominay, Fred, Young, Dallo. It's an average team. It's an average team.
I tell you what I do, what did hit me as well. Do you know what? I feel sorry for some of these kids. Chong, Greenwood, Gomez, James, to a certain degree, Daniel James has come from Swansea Football Club, had a really good start, lit it up nice and bright. And guess what? He now needs some help. We're being critical a little bit. He hasn't quite been the guy. Well, yeah, hold on a minute. He's come from Swansea and lit this place up. There's others who should be being the guy who are not, Rob. And I feel sorry for some of these kids
and their
development, because they ain't got enough good people around them. They ain't enough good people around them, Rob. Yeah. And listen, I'm certainly not saying people are not playing for the football club. But I'll tell you
Now that's the change of culture that you want
Yeah, injuries, Rob, and things like that can happen when things ain't going right. We've all seen some players who, I'm just not quite right this week. Oh, I'm just not quite right this week. Because, you know, things are a little bit difficult out there. Manchester United need to get back to getting the best players fit, getting the best and most experienced players on the pitch, helping the Daniel James in the Greenwoods and the Gomez's and Chong's when they come on for 15 and 20 minutes away at Newcastle, so they feel they've got a support and a comfort that these 51,000 fans ain't affecting them on the pitch. I just thought it was so... The fear's gone out of Manchester United. Rebecca said to you at half-time, Steve Bruce must be the happier of the two managers at half-time with a 0-0. And I sat there and I thought, actually, if I was Steve Bruce, I wouldn't be. To be drawing 0-0 with this Manchester United team, I wouldn't be the happiest manager. I'd want to be beating them. This team are one of those... If you look at Leicester City right now, Rob, I'm thinking, Leicester's a tough game. I ain't thinking that right now, with what you saw today... Manchester United isn't a tough game in the Premier League.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wanted to change the culture. He wanted to take out players who didn't want to be there. He wants to bring in young players that are hungry to play for Manchester United. This is what you've got. Plenty of players that are hungry to play, but not enough quality. Anyway, let's listen to what the man himself, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, said afterwards in reacting to this defeat.
He said before the game, I can't worry. I have to find solutions. Yeah. Where are the solutions?
That's the million-dollar question now, isn't it? And... it's now, luckily for us, international break. We get time to evaluate what's been going on the first eight games, because many of the games have been very similar. Of course, we have analysed throughout, but now is a period that you could sit down and hopefully we'll get a few players back. Maybe we'll have to put players... it's my responsibility, I need to sort their heads out. That's the main thing, because young boys with maybe lacking confidence is they need some help from the experienced players and us as staff, and we're working hard to find out.
Yeah, I mean, he's going flipping down a similar road, isn't he?
Rob.
There was a time when he stood out, I think it was about 80th minute in the game, and he was kind of looking at the game, and he looked a bit glazed, Rob. He looked a bit like couldn't quite work out what was going on. And then there was a shot, obviously, Michael Carrick was sitting one side and Mike Phelan the other, and they're both sort of staring into the abyss. And it was a bit like, wow.
He looks like he has absolutely no idea. I mean, he needs time to evaluate. They might get a few players back. We've got to bring him confidence. Listen, he's a great guy. He's been a great servant. He is not equipped to pull this club back to where they want to be.
Well, that was a bit we never knew. We all go back. You know, their last away win, was that PSG night when everybody was talking about Ollie statues and things.
The euphoria from Mourinho going, the euphoria from the change, was everybody got caught on that. And of course, the board did.
Two wins in 13 in the Premier League.
It couldn't have gone any worse. Since taking his job,
Manchester United.
It could not have gone any worse for him.
If he wasn't who he is, if he wasn't an ex Manchester United legend, would people be looking at this differently?
Well, he wouldn't have got the job.
He does get the job, but whatever. If he's other manager without the Manchester United tie, if he's LVG, if he's David Moyes, are we looking at this? Would we be giving the patience, would be giving the understanding, or does his legacy as a player buy him more time? And I'm not saying what's right or wrong. I'm just saying everybody is pointing, and some quite rightly, to the structure, to Ed Woodward, to what's going on behind the football club. But
This is the worst it's been, Rob, isn't it? This is the worst it's been by a mile. Forget all the other managers.
Since Sir Alex left.
Yeah, this is the worst. The worst.
So what... And this goes back to the inverted commas last week, the plan. Yeah. The plan's still got to be successful, Rob, isn't it? Everyone keeps talking about the plan. The plan can't be that they get in the bottom eight of the Premier League, and it's about development, and we've got to give time, and the kids are coming, and with the players, you can't keep going that far. Whoever you are, however many games you've played for Manchester United, however much a legend you are, you know, Manchester United recently had something like, you know, record receipts profits off the pitch. That only became because Manchester United were winners.
This plan that of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's on, and a lot of people support it. Mm. We've said before that it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's getting worse. Mm. How much worse is it going to get? And I haven't got the guy's name, but we've got tweets into the Two Robbies account, Two Robbies NBC, saying the club that I supported my whole life, Man United, could it be possible that we have a relegation fight this season? Well, the two points from relegation zone right now.
We got 9 points. Yeah, 7 points.
And I think, not 100% sure on this, Rob, but if the results go a certain way next,
if Liverpool beat them,
and everything else,
they could.
Man United could be in the bottom three at the end of the next match week.
I think a lot.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
But there'd be similar points anyway.
Is there a point there? Is there any legitimate worry that United could spiral into a situation where they're around the bottom of the table.
I hear you.
By the way, I'm deadly serious.
Stop.
I know. Well, I'm asking a serious question. I don't care if it's Man United or Real Madrid or anybody.
This squad with Ollie, would not be in the relegation fight. They may be bottom half of the Premier League. That might be what we're talking about, which is nowhere near acceptable. Which is, as you say, absolutely nowhere near acceptable. And the worry, Rob, is who evaluates the plan is my kind of thing. Like, who's responsible?
Ed.
Oh, so Ed. It's down to Ed.
Who else is the football knowledge above the head coach?
Challenge knowledge, Ed. Challenge.
Who else? That's obviously the problem. Quick, before we move on, quick shout Newcastle United, Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Been ridiculed, been hammered. Big
decision. The Longstaff brothers,
By playing Matty Longstaff, 19-year-old brother to his older brother, Sean Longstaff, in the middle of midfield, for him to score the winning goal. I mean, we're talking really stuff of what the kid dreamed about last night, probably, knowing he's going to play this game against Man United.
He'll never have to buy a Newcastle Brown Ale again in the city of Liverpool. Bless him. And do you know what, Robbie? It's great for... I mean, he's a kid with ability. I'd heard about the brothers.
Played well, didn't he? His general
academy can play well, you know, in there. But it's great that a club as big as Newcastle Football Club can still get a lift from a young kid out of the academy, a local boy who wants to pull on the black and white, who wants to give everything. There's been so many players over the last 4 or 5 years who've turned up at Newcastle and not even put a shift in, pick up the wages and can't wait to get out of there. Yeah. You know, it's just sometimes a return to good old-fashioned values.
Yeah, magnificent result for Newcastle United. Yeah. My goodness, that's going to give them a real shot in the arm.
Absolutely.
And they've shot up the table up to 16th place.
They beat Spurs, they beat Manchester United in Newcastle.
Absolutely. Any other business, Rob? Any other games today or over this weekend that grab your attention? I mean, firstly, I did see Arsenal today.
Arsenal.
And we talked a lot about
David Luiz.
David Luiz scored the goal.
Yeah.
I just want to say quickly on this game. Pretty good first half. Not great, but pretty good. Ceballos controlling things, dictating, good going forward. Second half, Rob, very different. Very defensive, very much off the pace of the game, very much defensive substitutions. And I want to give him a little bit of credit for that. I know that the Arsenal fans would expect to dominate and to score more goals and to win.
But
I kind of like the fact that he focused on his defensive shape, substitutions,
made sure he kept his point.
And made sure that they were somewhat compact. Mm-hmm. We had Lee Dixon last time, didn't we? And we talked about it.
Yeah.
So, again, I know maybe Arsenal fans won't be thrilled with it against Bournemouth, but I kind of like the focus away from going gung-ho attacking. Mm-hmm. And they had to grind a little bit, but listen, second half, that's the way games are. Better defensively. First clean sheet, I think, since the opening day against Newcastle United away. So that impressed me.
Third in the league, by the way, Arsenal Football.
There you go.
Despite having not not a great start.
Absolutely.
Not all doom and I tell you, I've got who I'm getting warm and fuzzy for, Robbie Musto.
Chelsea Football Club.
With Frank Lampard. Younger players, something different. Not the same old, a little bit different.
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi started the game, was involved in the goal. Pulisic came on, made an assist for Batshuayi. 4-1 away from Southampton, not an easy place to go. I just feel like something lighter, brighter, newer, it might be happening around Chelsea. And I just think Frank deserved a lot of credit. Listen, they concede way too many goals. I was looking at the goals against, 14 goals against. They got to deal with that. And at the moment, their attacking threat is helping them out on that. That's something they've got to work on. And Rudiger coming back, I think, will be helpful.
Mm.
But no, there's just something,
there is something
new and different that I like. I think, you know what? Chelsea might benefit from that. There's two transfer window bans where they've got to sit and look at what they've got and work with what they've got, and they might just create another wave of era and start challenging again for the silverware.
Yeah, and when the ban goes, they might spend some money, bring some players in, but they'll have certainly developed some young players.
Correct.
It might just change their philosophy going forward.
Tammy Abraham, about Mason Mount again.
Mount's lively, by the way.
Central today, Robbie. Played him in the 10. Yeah,
more position. Vision for him. Just marvellous for them. On a negative note, another game. Everton, Robbie Earle.
In the bottom three.
In the bottom three and 7 points.
Marco, please.
International break, Robbie Earle.
Yeah.
Go,
good or bad?
Does he go or they give him more time?
No, he's got... I tell you why he's got more time, I think. I think it's West Ham they go next time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
a team who they would feel they should be on par with. I think he gets that game. I think if West Ham do what Burnley do, I think we could be talking.
Yeah, November is, I think it's the most, I think the most firings are in November.
Yeah, because people want to get the window
to think about what they've got and then buy some new players. He is absolutely banging trouble.
He's on the edge. He needs some results pretty quickly from that Everton. And he's another one. Let's just settle with the team and give it a little bit of stability and you know. Yeah. Who knows? Everton, work to do for them.
Yeah, okay. Crystal Palace had a great win against West Ham United.
Yeah.
Villa, an amazing victory, 5-1.
Brilliant
against Norwich City.
Yeah, Norwich, a little bit of a worry for Norwich. Just kind of...
A little bit. I still think they've got a lot
They'll
of...
They'll be okay.
Well, they've got a ton of injuries. And they're not a big club, big squad. They haven't spent any money in the summer. I think they'll still find the wins to get out of it. Okay, let's move on to the underappreciated performance of the week, Robbie.
Yes.
We do this every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go first.
Go on.
I know a lot of people and Liverpool fans appreciate this guy, but in general, Rob, the big picture of Liverpool Football Club, James Milner doesn't get anywhere near the adulation that he should get. Just in this game, a remarkable left-footed pass with curl right into the path of Sadio Mane to score.
Mm.
There were several defensive areas where he cleared the ball out, he reached in to do interceptions, he made tackles, he made challenges, he tracked runners. Stuff that most people don't notice, by the way, but we do because we're midfield players, to see that see some of those runs and fill gaps when the Liverpool defenders weren't in them. Brilliant.
Mm.
And then we've talked about the penalty kick to secure the 3 points. Jurgen Klopp talked about him, Rob, didn't he, last year, that we can't do the things that we do at this football club without James Milner saying things at half-time, etc., or at any time in the dressing room to be that character. James Milner is a little treasure for Liverpool.
Pillar of your dressing room, Robbie Musto. And you remember the other week when Mane and Salah started having the spat? As Mane sits down, Milner moved around, put himself next to him. Just, you know, the arm and like, listen, the old granddad.
Probably makes a little joke about it as well.
Just brilliant, as you say.
Top pro.
Well, my underappreciated performance of the week goes, your guy, James Milner, you know what you're going to get. My choice, Adama Traore. Who knows what you're going to get?
You don't know what you're going to get,
This week, Robbie Musto, we got 2 goals in one game. He's only scored 1 goal in his last 72 career Premier League appearances before this. That's how much of a day it was.
Yeah.
We know he's got speed. We know he's got power. We know he's got a trick. But what we never know is what's the end product. Is he going to cross it behind the goal? Is he going to make the wrong decision? Is he going to shoot when he should pass it in? Today, he played in a Wolves team well set up. He got two chances to run away from defenders, which he did. He kept his control and he finished. And he's an important part of what Wolves do by playing him as a right wing back if this pace in the opposition team as he dealt with Sterling. You can always throw him at centre forward, and his lightning pace will cause any defender in the league a problem. So, James Milner, yeah, you know what you're going to get every week. Maybe it's once only for Adama Traore, but he's my underappreciated.
Let me just add a little bit on that as well, because a much maligned player, been around different clubs, and he's
Villa,
on
Middlesbrough.
The board, Middlesbrough, my old club, he's been borderline ridiculed for his end product, his final ball in, his shot at goal.
Do you remember the classic question Lady Lowe asked me?
What was that?
If Adama Traore didn't have pace, would he be a footballer? I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that.
I'm so pleased for him because he was used perfectly today. Absolutely perfectly today. Yeah. He took those finishes really well. And fair play to him. He's had a lot of heartache from his early days at Barcelona and trying to learn that way.
Still only 23.
He's only 23, but that pace is great. Can you imagine how good we'd be, Rob, with that sort of pace?
I did have that pace from to speak for yourself. Listen, mate, it's about time to wrap this one up. So, it's all the eights for Liverpool. 8 games played, 8 games won, 8-point gap at the top of the table. Well, it was a poor day for Manchester teams today. City lost 2-0, United lost 1. And sorry, weekend again for Spurs. They got beat by Brighton to put Poch in a little bit more trouble. We take a break next weekend due to the international fixtures, but we'll be back for match week 9 and the very little matter of Manchester United versus Liverpool from Old Trafford. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for listening. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.